Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, this commercial is going to use subliminal advertising.
It depends on you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this commercial...
The Morning Stream. Would you like a closer look?
Man, everything's popping off this morning. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for June 13th, 2023. We got a couple of threes in there today.
It's the 13th. That's why, Scott, right there. The 13th. Yeah.
I have to say, I admired Blizzard's announcement of how much they sold of Diablo 4 over the first 5 days, because... it was exactly $666 million.
Get out. Really?
Yeah. And it was technically released on the 6th, even though some of us got early access to it. So they're really leaning into the whole number of the beast business.
No kidding.
You know?
Released on 6/6/23.
But if you take 2023 and you add...
you multiply the 2 times the 3, you get 6.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter, you know, look, not we can't always have a...
as we know, if you multiply the 3 by the 2, you get 6.
You're not going to wait until 2066 to release your game, so you got to do what you got to do.
I think, I'm over on Third Eagle's streaming currently. He's only level 14. He's got a level 14 necromancer.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Yeah. Boy, imagine what that guy could see in the subtext. You know,
I just find it to be a harmless video game.
I'd hope he'd do that, but I don't think he'd do that. I think
not even a small chance.
Yeah, I killed an undead today, and he reminds me of the leopard. Anyway,
exactly.
We're here to do a show, you guys, and as often is the case on Mondays and Wednesdays, Brian brings quizzes to the show. But because today's a Tuesday, I thought, you know what, I'm going to sneak something in between. I'm going to put a little something in here. Yeah. This is for you, though. This is a quiz for you, Brian.
Oh, good. What can I win? Can I win Steam games, Scott? Because
yes, you can take a code of your choice in our Steam library of codes. It's a little bit weird in that it's not an actual quiz. I'm going to kind of make it up as I go. But basically, I'm going to give you some strange facts about animals, but do it in quiz form.
Oh, cool.
I'll ask you things like, you know... I'll throw one away here. How about this one? What do owls see with? And then you would say
their eyes.
You'd say their eyes, but you would be wrong because they have eye tubes. They don't have eyeballs. They have tubes.
Eye tubes?
Yeah. Now technically you'd be right if you said eyes, because that's still an eye, right? It's their visual whatever. But they call them eye tubes. They actually go back. There's no ball. It's just like this thing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, for real. So that's a really weird one.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I got owl eye tubes.
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, me neither.
They're like little.
They're elongated tubulars. There you go. Here.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Weird, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Those birds, every time I hear something about an owl, I'm freaked out. Mm-hmm. Every time. It's like, oh, have you seen their legs? No, I'm sure they're fine. Ah! Have you seen their legs? They're horrifying. When they lift up their skirt and they show their full legs, it is the weirdest skirt thing. Have you seen
Hey, big
that?
Boy. know of any field mice near here.
It's really odd. Like, let me find a weird one.
I mean, they've got, yeah, they're, I mean, they're just feather covered, talon legs.
Yeah, but
by the way, that kind
those?
Of explains why they, you never see owls like move their eyes left or right, their eyes, you know, inside their sockets left and right, because they can't, right? Because of the
tubes.
The way their eyes are shaped, so they have to always just move their head, but their pupils stay in the dead center.
They're like the internet. There are a series of tubes in there.
A series of tubes.
Yep.
I had no idea. This is already learning something new. I feel like a better man.
Look at those crazy legs. All right. Here comes more information. More data. All right. Here's one. Yep. What color is, if you were to shave them, what color is the skin of a polar bear?
Oh, black, I believe. I believe their skin is black.
That is correct. Nicely done. Yeah. It says it's black skin. It helps to absorb heat from the sun to stay warm in the Arctic climate, so it likely protects the bear from harmful UV rays. They've evolved to sort of do that, so that's why.
That's right, yeah.
All right. How about this one?
And their fur is actually not really white. It's semi-translucent, like it's like a cream color.
Oh, right. Yeah, and their hair is gross. Their outer stuff is gross. They look like pee to me.
They look like urine.
Yeah, you know, like I don't like it. Pee-soaked nightmares. They don't look
I think
like
that's
the,
why. It's really because their fur is translucent that they don't look, but they're not really white.
Right, and if they looked as good as they do in the Coke commercials, then we'd all be happy, but that's just not going to happen.
If they were as friendly, too. Yeah, that's misleading.
Yeah, very misleading. Thanks a lot, Coke. All right, here's one. How many hearts does an octopus have?
Oh, well, let's see. Currently, Link has six. And I'm trying to get more.
Right. You're always trying to get one more heart if you can get it.
Yeah. I believe they have nine. One for each tentacle and one for their brain.
Incorrect. They have three total hearts. Is all.
Three. Okay.
One pumps blood
multiple,
around.
There's something that they have multiple, like
a squid or something or some other kind of.
No. Octopus. Maybe they have like nine brains or something. They have nine something.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, maybe yeah. Well, they got like little they got the main brain, right, the big knobby right. brain, and then they got right. eight little brains out in the reaches
brains. Yeah, anyway, okay, so three hearts
total. One pumps blood around the body, the other two pump it to the gills, and also their hearts are blue. Their blood is blue, and I said heart. I meant
like
blood.
Like Klingons.
Yeah, a little bit like Klingons. Well, Klingons are green, but same deal, right? You cut into them, and it'd be like, oh my gosh, what's this blue liquid? It's their blood.
Blood. Yeah. Blood. Yes, nine brains, by the way.
Three hearts, nine brains. That's crazy.
They are a walking bag of organs, basically, is what they are.
They're like a Klingon. All right.
They are.
If you were to have to charge or continually have your brain plugged in, the human brain.
Sure.
About how many watts are needed to operate the human brain?
Oh, geez.
The equivalent electricity would be required.
Sure. Well, let's see. The light over here is kind of dim. It's a 40-watt light bulb. I think it's going to be more than that. I'm going to say 2,000.
2,000 watts? You're going to be shocked. The answer is 15. Watts.
15 watts, so less than this little 40-watt light bulb I have next to me.
You need very little power to run your brain.
Jeez.
It turns out.
Well, good news, octopuses need nine times that. So, ha!
Now
octopuses.
The way I'm going to ask this next one is probably going to give it away. But I'll do it anyway. What do butterflies taste with?
Oh, their feet. A lot of flying insects taste with their feet.
That is correct. This is interesting. Females select the correct leaf on which to lay eggs by drumming it with their feet, and they release these little juices, and it all contributes to them tasting with their feet.
Really? So is it gross to you? Like, if will you now not let a butterfly land on you because
no, it's fine.
You know, it's tasting you?
Nah, I don't mind. Let them taste me. I'm here to be tasted. It's not a
we
problem.
We have a place here in not too far from me, Westminster, real close to Arvada, called the Butterfly Pavilion. And the outer rooms are all like, hey, have a tarantula walk on your hand. And oh, over here's some hissing cockroaches and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then this big center atrium area with all this light and all this space is the actual Butterfly Pavilion. And you go in there and it's just like butterflies flying all over the place and cocoons over here. And these might be hatching. And
that sounds like fun.
And
sounds great. Yeah. I'd take super cool. That. Yeah, we have a thing similar to that, but not nearly that many butterflies. It's like, I don't know, maybe 30.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
all spread out. It's nothing compared to that. I'm going there.
Come here and let the butterflies here taste you.
That's right. Come here, Van. We're going on a road trip. Okay, Pops. All right, check this out. let's see. Oh, how much stronger is a dog's sense of smell than that of you and I?
So you're looking for a multiple, like 10 times stronger kind
of
thing.
Yeah. Not percentage, but like, yeah, times.
Yeah. Sense of smell. Boy, it's like, it's probably 30 times.
Let's look at it. Is it 30 times? It is 100,000 times.
Shut up. 100,000 times?
According to this.
I was thinking I'm going to go 100 times. And nope, that's going to be ridiculous. They're going to laugh at me for going as high as I did.
Yep. But we have 6 times the taste buds than they do.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. That's weird, right?
Oh, that is weird. I thought the dogs would have had a better sense of taste as well.
I guess not,
because they lick their own butts. They have no taste at all.
Oh, good point. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about this yesterday because Ripley's out there sniffing away at Rainer's butt. And I'm thinking, what would it take for humans to just be cool with that? You know? And I don't have a good scenario in my head where it works. It doesn't work.
Just a friendly greeting. Hey, welcome to TMS Vegas.
Yeah, just check them out.
Did you change your diet? You smell great.
And have that be totally normal and not a weird thing at all?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know what society would have to go through to make that happen, but... all right. This is interesting. What color? Let's see. That's kind of hard. All right. Well, all right. There's only, okay. Reindeer, actual reindeer, not the fakey kind with the red noses,
sure.
But like real reindeer, their eyeballs, their eyeballs turn a specific color in the wintertime, and no other mammals are known to have this ability that they know of. What color do they turn? Only in the winter.
Reindeer's eyeballs turn a certain color in the wintertime.
Yeah, and it's to help them see at lower light, if that helps, because there's lower light in those parts of the world.
I mean, I would guess black, but...
eyeballs are black.
How would that benefit? How would changing any certain color benefit? Yeah, I'm going to say black, because it would sure be weird if it was white.
Is it black? It's blue, weirdly.
Blue, really?
Yeah. I don't know. They're golden colored in the summer, by the way. So that's the deal there. But I would actually think it'd be the opposite. Just practically, I'd go, oh, blue, better for sun somehow.
Right.
I don't know why. But for some reason, I would do blue then. And then the brighter orangey color I would do in the nighttime where now you need to see better. I don't know why my brain goes the other way. But anyway.
That's really wild. Okay. I have no idea why.
What? Does a spider have... No, hold on. That's a bad way to ask that. I have to make these up. Okay, I'll do this one. A single strand of spider silk is thinner than a human hair. So,
correct.
So a human hair, the spider silk thinner, but is a certain time stronger than a piece of steel of the same width. How much stronger is a spider silk than a steel... hair made of steel.
If you had a piece of steel that was as thin as a spider or a single strand of spider's silk, how much stronger would the spider's silk be?
Right.
I'm gonna go with 100 times because I like a good round 100 times.
Let's check it out. 5 times. 5 times. That one's a lot closer than what you were thinking.
Well,
the other
one. That's spiders,
funny.
You suck.
It says here, it goes on to say, a rope of just 2 inches thick spider silk could stop a Boeing 747. That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. All right, here's one. okay, let me read this. Okay. Why? Let's see, I'll ask it this way.
Oh, good. Okay.
Why is rat poison so effective against rats and other vermin? Or what would you call those? Not just vermin, but like what are squirrels
rodents?
And chipmunks? Rodents. There you go. That's what I was looking for.
Yep.
Vermin feels mean. You know, like you.
I know vermin.
So rodents. why is it so effective against rodents, but other like dogs and stuff, they can make it through? Why is that?
Because of retsin.
The cool, refreshing effect of
retsin? Cool, refreshing breath freshener. It has the opposite effect on rats.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Just kidding. Go ahead. Keep going.
So why does rat poison? I don't know how rat poison kills rats. I figured it was just like stops their heart or poisons them. I don't know.
That's what I thought. Same. Hard same. I thought the same thing. It's like, oh, okay. But I was so wrong on this.
Wow. Well, I hate the fact that the chat room is talking about dehydrating dehydrating the rats. I hate looking over there.
It's all right. They're helping you. That's fine.
Let's say that's it.
All right. Is that it? No, that is not it. Here's what it is. Squirrels and other rodents. They use squirrels as an example, but it works for rats. Can't burp or vomit. None of them have that ability.
They puke out the poison once they've ingested it.
Correct. So dogs or cats, if they run into it, they'll hork it before they... I mean, some of them will still die because, you know, maybe it's a lot or whatever. But they can get it out of there and maybe survive. I never knew that. So literally this line says, squirrels can't burp or vomit. What a great little bit of knowledge there. You ever seen a burping squirrel? No, you have not.
No, but I kind of wish, you know, I figure it's like... they can water ski. Why can't they burp?
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel fair.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Here's how do I ask this? All right. There used to be a penguin on the planet called the Colossus penguin. It was a gigantic penguin.
Sure.
What?
And it was just one.
What famous basketball star is the exact height of the average Colossus penguin?
Shut up. There's a basketball player that like there's a penguin at one time that was as tall as any basketball player.
Who's the little shorty guy?
Is it LeBron? Is LeBron the short little shorty guy?
No, you're thinking of
Carmelo Anthony?
LeBron's big. You're thinking of who was he back in the day? The little runty guy that was in NBA Jam or the Space Jam.
Meadowlark Lemon. That's what I'm going to say.
Let's see. Is that right? No, that is incorrect. It was actually LeBron James.
It was LeBron James.
Who is, I guess I should look that up. LeBron.
So I guess not really a shorty guy. It was just a really tall penguin.
A very tall penguin. Let's see. LeBron James height. Why can't I find this? Oh, 6'8". 6'8"
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? So it was a 6 foot inch tall penguin.
A nearly 7 foot tall penguin. Can you imagine that?
I can't imagine that. Was he like just super skinny or was he still as wide? Like he looked like Totoro or something.
It doesn't actually say. Let's see if I got a photo or anything that's like comparative. No, they don't have anything. It'd have to be a drawing because it's extinct, but.
That's freaking nuts. By the way, basketball kind of a big topic today here.
Yeah.
In Denver.
Yeah.
There are Nuggets won for the first time ever in franchise history.
Yeah.
Made it to the finals for the first time ever in franchise history and then nearly swept the Miami Heat.
Yeah. So pretty crazy.
Andre was in the audience.
Didn't it feel like it was all a little quiet? NBA Finals, because
it was absolutely nuts here in Denver. It's all over the place, like every billboard, every single thing out there
as it should be. Yeah, when the Jazz would do good stuff in the 90s, you know, we'd lose our minds. Yeah. But outside of that, it just feels like the NBA stuff is quieter than usual. I feel like I heard more about Stanley Cup than I did basketball this year. For whatever reason, maybe it's because.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, the Avalanche, what got kicked out in the second round of the playoffs? I think.
Yeah, maybe it was Vegas. Maybe Vegas was. Vegas is why.
Yeah, the Golden Knights did really well.
Yep. Yeah, and the fact that we're, you know, that's the closest we have to a team. Well, I guess you're closer. No, but there, Vegas is closer.
I think Vegas is closer to you guys now.
Yeah. So they're our sort of team now, and that A's deal may not go through. Turns out. There's big stink over
really?
There.
Oh, really? The Oakland A's may not be moving to Vegas.
Yeah, there's some big holdup with the local government tax something this and that building the thing. There's some big holdup, and so that happens, the rumor is that there are possible buyers here in Salt Lake City that want to put them out in that new big old space. They want to build a stadium out near the airport. So there's talk of me come here. If we got a freaking MLB team, I would go to games. I love live baseball. I love it. Huge
the
fan.
Utah A's.
Yeah, the Utah A's. The Utah A's. No, wait, we Utah. Can't do that. We got to have Z's in there like everything else. We got Grizzlies. Yeah.
Well, it'll be the Utah
Jazz.
A's.
A's.
A-Z-E.
Or they
Utah
could just
A's.
The Athletics. They'll call it. All right, one final one, Brian. If you were to see a common honeybee, which, you know, good for the environment.
I often do see a common honeybee.
Oh, that's good. That's good. They won't sting. They're very nice little buzzy little guys, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Leave them alone. They'll leave you alone
kind
of thing.
They're not like hornets who are dicks, okay?
Yeah, right.
How many times can they flap their wings every second?
Ooh.
And by the nature of the question, it probably makes it sound like it's a lot. So I will say it's a lot.
It is. It's definitely a lot. I'm trying to remember. Like they're not on par with hummingbirds, but they're up there. Like per second, how many times do they flap their wings per second? I would say 120 times per second.
Oh, you're so close. 200 is the correct answer.
200. Wow, yeah.
You were close though. I think you were in the neighborhood.
Closer than the dog times and spider silk steel.
Sure. Comparison. And maybe imagine like a cold snap and that honeybee's a little slow that day.
Listen, there's got to be a honeybee that's like, I'm just not feeling it today. About 120 per second.
So I didn't get into it, but there was one here about the jellyfish, and I didn't know this, but the jellyfish is the only known animal or the only known creature on this planet of any species or genus that's capable of cheating death indefinitely. So
really?
You can,
unlimited death saves?
Yeah, you can cut it. You can rip it apart. It'll grow all back. It can get, in fact, a chunk of it can be on its own and then find new life. Like you can, it can live forever, basically.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
You do that with starfish, like cut it and grow a new starfish if you cut it correctly.
Yeah. And then one tiny bit of warning, this mainly for you, because you got cats. I have cat and some dogs. Mm-hmm. Dogs don't matter in this case, but if you have a cat or a horse, which I think is mm-hmm. funny that there's just these two.
These two, uh-huh.
Highly susceptible to black widow venom.
Oh, really?
Way
and we
more.
Have black widows in Colorado. As a matter of fact, I've seen them in this house, black widow spiders.
Oh, yeah, you don't want those. So cats, real bad. Horses, real bad. Dogs,
wow,
very not resistant. So, they may be a little itchy and bugged, but dogs are very resistant. Sheep and rabbits, immune. Nothing.
Humans fairly resistant, too. Like, we'll get welts, but it doesn't... it's not like the danger, like insta-kill, like we were all led to believe.
Yeah, we all were. Ray, I mean, hell, they made an MCU character out of it. Like,
yeah,
it's well, MCU. They made a comic book character.
That's exactly.
But it was supposed to be deadly.
A lot before,
right? The whole idea is deadly. Ooh, deadly spider.
Right.
You're much worse to get a brown recluse in your house or something like that.
Yes. Oh yeah, because that's got like
necrotic flesh eating deal.
Necrotic flesh eating deal. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Nope.
No, thanks. That's the one way I don't want to go. I'll go. Give me any other way. Well, I don't want any other way. Don't give me cancer or whatever. But if you're going to make me go, I'd really like it not to be rapidly with a flesh eating bacteria or poison. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds bad, man.
No, thanks. No, thanks.
All right. Well, there's your fun animal facts for today. And you did quite well.
I did okay.
Some of them were impossible, though. Like, how are you going to know how many flaps a damn bee does unless you look it up?
Exactly.
And I learned that possums don't hang from their tails ever.
Oh, really?
Cartoons lied to us. They never hang from their tails. They'd be too heavy and it wouldn't work. They're not that strong of a tail. But we've all been raised to think that that's the way that deal goes.
I totally was raised to think that's the way that deal goes. That's crazy. Yeah. It's like, they just, you know, they hang on trees. They do play dead, right?
They play dead. That. Yes, they do play dead.
Yes.
And they
have the feign death talent.
Yeah.
They specked into feign death.
Yeah, they can hit F and then just lay there. Good. But they cannot hang on with that tail to save their life. Literally, they do not do that. There are some animals that do. There's some monkeys and some other stuff, but possums don't. So there you go. All right. Well, we've all learned a little something. Now let's learn one more thing with this phone call.
So I was listening to episode 2470, and this is actually following up on another person's call about prion diseases. prion diseases are actually some of the scariest diseases that are out there. They are caused by misshaped proteins. So they actually have some of the highest fatality percentages of any diseases that we are aware of. They have almost a 100% fatality rate. They tend to actually be very fast diseases. I hope you have a wonderful day. That is all.
Well, I was.
What a great way to end that call. Fantastic.
Exactly, yes. So by the way, I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I hope you're feeling okay. It's gosh dang. Oh, here's how you say it. Let me pull it back up the audio. Oh, maybe not.
Prion.
Oh, Prion. Okay.
Prion.
Make sure. Pre-owned.
Toyota Volkswagen. Prion.
Yeah, it's the new Toyota Prion.
It's the electric car disease. It's going to take away your dependence on foreign oil.
Yeah, that's right. I like that they used that guy for the spokesman. That's great. You're not going to have to pay for oil no more in this Prion.
You know, I discovered last night, I learned something.
What?
I learned that back in February when I told my friend Kathy that we would go with her to Red Rocks to see Semisonic Del Mitri and the Bare Naked Ladies, I learned that that concert is tonight.
Oh, shit!
Yes.
Are you, well, I guess you're not going now, or are you, or what are you going to do?
Well, of course I'm going. Why wouldn't I be going?
Oh, I was thinking you didn't. Okay, I was thinking you had
to. Yeah, we bought tickets. Time. I just forgot that it was June 13th.
Well, you'll be wide awake for TMS tomorrow, then. You'll be perfect.
You know what? I'm sure I will, because she's going there specifically to see Semisonic. It's her favorite band.
Yeah.
I like Bare Naked Ladies, but I liked them a lot more when Stephen Page was part of the band. I don't.
Sure.
I'm not.
You know,
I've listened to their album since, and they just don't have the.
There's something missing. Something's missing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's more
Ed Robertson. You need the two.
It's more like Bare Naked Lady at that point.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I came here for ladies, not lady.
So we're gonna watch Del Mitri. We're definitely gonna watch Semisonic, and I'm looking at the set list thanks to Setlist.fm, and let's see. Matter of Time opener. Don't know that song. It's All Been Done. I know that song. Again, it's going to be weird not having Stephen Page sing it.
Yeah.
Roll Out. Don't know that one. Ad Lib. Don't know it. Gonna Walk. Don't know it. Just Wait. Don't know it. Looking Up. Don't know it. Big Backyard. Don't know it. Oh, song number 9. Pinch Me.
Well, okay.
I know that one.
Okay.
Big
Bang in there. No.
Me.
No Big Bang.
Big Bang Theory theme number 16.
Oh,
don't
shit.
Know if we'll make it that far. 1 week. If I Had $1 million, not till the. The encore, it looks like.
And that's another one where you need those two, both guys, man.
Yes, right.
If I had, you got the one guy.
If I Had $1 million, for sure. Yeah. 1 week, I mean, that is pretty much an Ed Robertson, you know, hold me down, let me stop thinking.
Oh, yeah, that one's fine. But the one where they're going back, when they do a lot of back and forth, those are hard to hear.
Those are hard to do, yeah. You know, If I Had $1 million. Pinch Me is you know, one of those. What about The Old Apartment? That one's just straight up Stephen Page.
Yeah, it's his
song. Broke into the old apartment.
Yeah.
They're not doing.
Is he doing his own solo thing or no?
He is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I take that back. Their first. So they end with 1 week, If I Had $1 million, and then like a bunch of, at least when they did this in Kansas City, night before last, they ended with a bunch of covers. First encore is The Old Apartment.
Oh, okay.
And then they cover Jet Airliner with
Brian.
Semisonic and Del Mitri.
Brian.
Come back out for the last song.
You're going to be tired tomorrow. Back to the point. You're going to be tired.
I don't think I'm going to tell Kathy that Semisonic comes back out for the last song.
Yeah, this is the big... Okay, so now we're on to a whole new ethical question. Do you tell her?
Oh, jeez, do I tell her?
Yeah,
oh,
tell
my
her?
Gosh.
Because now you know, so do you...
Now I know.
Do you say, do you omit this information and call it good, or do you feel bad and tell her? You know,
I'm going to tell her and let her decide. We're going to drive separately, so...
Okay, so you got an out.
Just because she stays.
Yeah, you have an out. But that's good. That's good.
I have an out, but oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm going to have to tell her.
I love it. I like this conundrum.
I can't not tell her, because I would be pissed if, like, I found out, you know, like let's say when I saw Elvis Costello open up for the Police.
Sure.
And let's say I wasn't a huge Elvis Costello fan. Just, that's a bad example because he came out before he was the opening act. He came out, or Sting came out and performed Allison with Elvis Costello. And I would have been pissed if I would have missed that. But it's not like, I guess that would be the same thing, right? Like, I'll just show up when the Police start because I don't like Elvis Costello.
Sure.
And then I find out that Sting sings, you know, Allison with Elvis Costello. I would have been pissed off.
Which sounds like a cool duet, by the way.
That it was so damn great. Cool. Yeah. We, at the time, it was me and the real Chris Brown went and saw those two. Or the can't really say those two, those four, because it's three Police and one Elvis.
All right.
And Chris Brown, you know, does what he wants. And so he decided during the Elvis opener, we would go as far forward in the reserve seating area as we could. And so he's like, Brian, I see like two open spaces in row two. Let's go get them. I'm like, oh, really? All right. So we make our way. Excuse me. We get through about three quarters of the Elvis Costello set and we're second row. Great seats. We're watching this thing. And again, at Red Rocks. And then the real owners come and they're like, oh, I think you might be in our seats. And Chris Brown's like, yeah, we just want to come up and see Elvis Costello up close. We'll move. And he's like, and the people said, oh, no, sorry, take your time.
Oh.
And so Chris Brown and I just sit still. And we're like, okay.
Take your time. The guy meant, did they stand the guy there? Or what?
The guy meant, well, no, I don't want you to run.
Oh,
I do want you to get up and walk out of our seats. But like the way you said, take your time. How are we supposed to translate that? No, it's all right. Take your time. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't know what
I meant now, but don't.
Did he say that? Did he have to correct and say
he
it?
He did. He totally did.
That's freaking amazing. How embarrassing is this? This is a terrible story.
It was a little embarrassing. So as we were going to our seat, going to our actual seats, is when Sting came out to sing Allison with Elvis Costello. So I missed the first minute of it because we were trying to find our seats. I could hear it. I just couldn't sit there and watch it.
You couldn't be two rows away from it is what you couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great, though. That's funny. Why would you say take your time? Why would you say that?
Take your time? Exactly. Or no rush or whatever. I mean, it was like, there's something along those lines. Like, oh, okay, cool.
No rush.
I think that's what he said. No rush.
He shouldn't have
said
problem.
Anything. Like, because we were getting up to get, like, we weren't going to run.
No. Yeah, that's like when you say you're talking to, I don't know, the bank on the phone, and at the end of the call, you accidentally say love you because you talk to your wife on the phone a lot, and you just say that by accident. Now you're now you got a whole thing. You got a whole thing to deal with. Just don't say anything. Say, oh, I think you're in our seats. Oh, shoot. Okay, no worries. And then you're done talking. You just wait for the people to get up. Don't say no rush.
Don't say no rush. Yes, exactly.
Weird. That is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. All right.
Yeah.
Let's dive into some news today.
I don't watch the news.
We got some news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Soundography. Hey, remember last week when I told you there would be a new Soundography episode? There was a special episode where Hammond and I watched the Broadway show Chess, the live for TV version, featuring the songs One Night in Bangkok and others. That episode didn't get posted because of my trip, so it's getting posted today. Oh. So soundography.com. Listen to me and Hammond do what we normally do for patrons with these special movie episodes. And we're going to tell you all about Chess Live.
That sounds like a good time to me.
It is. It still is a good time. It may not be the good time people were expecting last week, but it'll be the good time they get this week.
That's right. We said no rush, and then Brian waited a week.
That's right. Oh, no rush to get this Chess in concert, Hammond? Okay, cool.
Yeah, no worries. And then you just stood there. Let's get to the story about a sushi chain has sued a high school student who licked a soy sauce bottle for $480,000.
Okay, that feels a little excessive.
You think? That seems like a lot.
A little.
Yeah, I think it's a lot too much. A sushi chain is suing a high school student for 67 million yen. That's worth 480 grand here in the Americas. After social media footage showed him licking his finger, then touching a plate of sushi as it passed him on the conveyor belt.
That's also horrible.
Yep, I agree. This is according to Japan's public broadcaster. I assume that's like their PBS. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. A Kendo Shiro company, which runs the Sushiro restaurant chain, claims to have suffered a sharp fall in customers after the footage of his actions at the outlet in the city of Gifu went viral, according to the Japanese broadcaster NHK. The footage of the student also showed him licking a soy sauce bottle and a cup that he placed back onto the communal pile.
Oh, gotcha. So, hey, watch this TikTok little video, and he does all this stuff.
Yeah.
And if they had a sharp fall in customers, I mean, they're, you know, a lawsuit is warranted, but... Wow, did they lose $480,000 worth of business?
I mean, they're claiming it's that kind of damage, huh? That's what they're claiming. Wow. I mean, it's hard to say.
This kid's a dick.
Yeah, kid's a dick. Now, the thing is, in my head, I picture some white kid in America. I just do.
I kind of do, too.
But it's not.
I picture Logan Paul.
It's a yeah. You picture like a Logan Paul type, but no, it's
I do. That's exactly, yeah.
It's just some Japanese kid, you know.
Yeah.
It says here, the short clip was shared widely in Japan after it was uploaded in January. And was one of a number of similar videos, including some of their competitors, that helped give rise to the term sushi terrorism.
Oh, no.
That's stupid. The term is used broadly to refer to unhygienic actions in Japan's sushi train restaurants where customers pick dishes on conveyor belts. Those are very popular there. You've got one near you that you go to, right?
Yeah, well, not that we go to. There's one near me. It's not near enough that I'd go to it unless I'm in the area. Mm. But it used to be Sushi Boat. And now it's Sushi Train, but they kept the sign shape, which is the shape of a big boat, but it says Sushi Train on the boat.
Oh, weird.
It's the Sushi Train boat.
That's weird. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't, no.
It says they claim, this is what they claim, they've claimed they've lost 16 billion yen, which translates roughly to be $115 million is their claim of loss. So actually, 480K is not that big.
No.
Following the release, if they can prove that, I don't know if they can prove that in court.
They have to be able to prove it. Yeah.
Following the release of the video, due to a sharp drop in customers and a slump in the stock of its parent company. The student's legal counsel wrote to the court in May asking for it to dismiss the complaint. It said the student had admitted the act and regretted his actions, but added that there was no proof of a link between his actions and the drop in customers at the sushi chain. It suggests that the decline in customers could be due to a fierce competition in that industry. Well, if they can track it from when the video was released until now, they can probably show a direct correlation. I don't know. That's hard to prove in court, though.
It is. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, but if their sales are basically like this, and then pew, right after this video goes viral,
yeah.
I feel like they've got a case.
They probably that is probably what it shows. I just don't know how you prove. Well, and I don't know what the standards for proof are in Japan. Like here, I don't know if you'd have to settle. Something would happen in the middle. You'd settle,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were you going to say? You were going to...
If you look in your Discord, I sent you the Sushi Train sign.
Oh, let's take a look here. Oh, yeah, look at that. That is so weird. Here, chat. Look at this. I'm going to zoom in a little. All you can eat sushi.
Sushi Train.
Sushi Train boat.
We know it's a boat.
Yeah, it's throwing my brain off. It's like
when you see one of those things, say the colors out loud, and it's the word red, but it's in yellow.
Yeah. I'm really bad at that. I struggle with that test. That's not really a test, but if I really focus, I can do it. But my brain does the thing they're hoping, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll do this story. This is a fun one. Hundreds have attended church. Entirely run this entire service generated by ChatGPT. You knew this was coming at some point.
Oh yeah! Wow, I didn't think it would hit the world of religion this quickly.
No, okay. I didn't either. But the artificial intelligence.
I was expecting porn first.
But, I'll bet it is.
There's not much chat in porn.
Yeah, less chat, more porn. The artificial intelligence chatbot asked the believers of the fully packed St. Paul's Church in the Bavarian town of Furth, I guess. Furth. Furth. To rise from the pews and praise the Lord. The ChatGPT chatbot, personified by an avatar of a bearded black man on a huge screen above the altar, then began preaching to more. I don't know why they had to tell us he was black.
Right. Yes.
I don't understand the point.
Bearded, and they capitalized it.
Yeah,
too.
They capitalized black.
Bearded black man.
This is a Bavarian thing? Anyway, on a huge screen above the altar, then began preaching to the more than 300 people who had shown up on Friday morning for an experimental Lutheran church service almost entirely generated by AI. Dear friends, it is an honor for me to stand and preach to you as the first artificial intelligence of this year's Convention of Protestants in Germany, the avatar said, with an expressionless face and a monotonous voice.
So people knew. This wasn't like they showed up thinking that this was a real deal. They walked in knowing this.
I think a lot of people probably went because they wanted to see how weird this would be, right? I would. I'd go to this.
I would. I'd want to check it out.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. It was 40 minutes.
Please install this communion wafer.
Yep. In your mouth. Please open your mouth. Beep, boop, beep. I have 10 fingers.
Please download the blood of Christ.
The digital power of Christ compels you. The 40-minute service, including the sermon, prayer, and music, was generated by ChatGPT and Jonas Simmerlin, a theologian and philosopher from the University of Vienna. That's where they get the sausages, you know.
That's right, yes.
I conceived of this service, but actually I rather accompanied it because I would say about 98% comes from the machine, says the 29-year-old scholar. The AI church service is one of hundreds of events at the Convention of Protestants in Bavaria. This is all part of in towns of like Nuremberg and the neighboring Fürth, and it drew such immense interest that people formed a long queue outside the 19th century neo-Gothic building for an hour before it began. Wow. So yeah, it's just I don't think this is like religious zealotry. No. This is just like curiosity. Like, what is this going to be
right.
like?
If they did a second one, it wouldn't be popular. Like, nope, seen it. I've seen the AI church. That's all I wanted to do is just see the AI church. And
I kind of want to see videos. I don't know if they link it here. Let's see. Is there any kind of
at least a photo or something? Yeah.
I want to see that guy up there, that capital B black guy up there.
Oh yeah, there he is. Well, that looks like a woman.
Oh yeah, it does. This is just maybe it's just a different part of the thing or something. Here you go, chat. It's way back there. Jeez,
she's the opening act, the digital opening act.
Yeah, she does Allison.
Warms up the crowd. Yeah. Hey, who's ready for God?
That's right. And then this other guy, look at him in his sneakers in the pews.
Are you ready for God?
You know what they all also have? They didn't say anything. They buried the lead. But if you look at the photo of the guy down in the middle of the article, all of the pews have screens with QR codes for I don't know what reason.
So I guess you can watch them on your iPads as well.
Can I scan that here? No. Oh, I did see something.
I'd be curious to see. That's a good.
I did see something cool yesterday. So somebody's got an AI bot that's only job, it's a modified AI bot, is to make QR codes, but do them as paintings. So they look like a small village in the snow. Like all of the buildings. If you looked at it close, you'd go, it just looks like a very bunch of interestingly arranged buildings. But if you back up, you realize, that's forming a thing. And it scans like a QR code.
And it works and it scans?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I remember, for a while they were doing like colors and then you'd have like a little photo in the center, a little image in the center of the QR code. Mm-hmm. But that's cool if you can do.
It's really neat. Like, see if I can find that real quick. It's pretty cool. QR code AI art. That's bound to find it.
I would totally do.
Here it is.
If I had the right thing, I would totally do a QR code tattoo.
I'm thinking that may be what I do finally. Like, the problem is,
But what would you have it? Because
if it goes,
look at that.
Because if it goes to, isn't that rad? Isn't that cool?
Hold
your phone up. Yeah, hold your phone up on that.
I'm gonna try right now.
There's the village one, chat that I was
talking about. Son of a bitch, that works.
Isn't that crazy? Totally crazy. Scroll down and look at these. There's the village one I was telling you about in the snow. And then you can scroll through the others, but they all that looks like aerial photos. I mean, they all have these big square things because I think you have to.
Yeah, they have to. That helps. But even that, like, they make it look like it's a banner hanging off the side of this character's head.
It's really cool.
That village. No way. That's amazing.
Where does it go? Does it take you somewhere?
Yep, it takes you to I think the artist's page. qrbtf.com.
See,
and then they show you like,
oh my gosh,
like you can actually have it generate. It looks like it.
Oh no way!
Oh wow, this one with the tree and the clouds and stuff. Oh, the little printed circuit board. These are absolutely amazing. The fact that they work.
Yeah, that's rad. I actually think that's very cool. That's a really cool use for that.
That is, okay, finally somebody using QR codes for good.
Now, right, would you do the tattoo? See, I would be tempted to go old school pixely looking thing, but might be cool to have some full blown art like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's still scanned, you know? And then you got to have a destination that you're never going to change and will always be up. That's the other rule.
That's the thing. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You can't lose your URL. That would suck so bad, dude. Like, what if it went to frogpants.com and then I let it lapse and some guy bought it and it forwards to porn or something? Like, that might be tattoo.
Yeah, see, that's a problem right there. Yeah, you'd have to maintain it, like, in perpetuity until I die.
Yeah, or have it purposely go somewhere that's never going to go away, that isn't even yours. Like,
you even got to worry about that. Like, you know, YouTube might go under someday, so you can't rickroll
thing. That's true. Oh my gosh, do a rickroll. What if the tattoo artist trolled you and did it so it was a rickroll?
Oh my god, that would be hilarious.
Holy shit.
There's a podcaster who does a show, maybe he still does a show, called The Hollywood Podcast. A guy named Tim Coyne. And he's, again, one of the OG podcasters, Orange County, but like was back in the day when I started podcasting. And he got a QR code, and I think there was, I want to say that there was a little bit of a smudge or something, or the tattoo artist effed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you'd get his site, sometimes you'd get a different site altogether.
That seems bad. That seems like not optimal.
We had a lunch at a pizza place in Orange County with him and Dan Klass. Tina and I did when we were out there, and he was showing us his brand new tattoo. And let's see if I can find it here. Yeah, tattoo. There it is. Tim Coyne, Hollywood Podcast tattoo. Nope, that's certainly not it. Oh gosh, that's definitely not it.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh man, I was trying to find if there was also a way to have it go to something that's less ephemeral than a website, but there really isn't. This is all this is for. I mean, it's for menus and libraries, and there's other uses.
Yeah, but it's certainly, like, we were thinking that the hilarious. When you do a search for Tim Coyne Hollywood Podcast, the first photo that comes up is a picture of, never mind. I thought that was Tina at one of the podcast awards. The thumbnail looked like Tina, because we've taken our picture with Tim Coyne before, and I'm like, oh my god, there's a picture of Tim Coyne with Tina, but it's
not her.
Tim Coyne's Tina doppelganger wife, I think.
Yeah, there's always more than one. There's always. Wow. Well, anyway, this stuff's fascinating, and I hope those church people all learned their lesson that if a robot can do it, maybe something's
that's
right.
I was about to say that. The QR codes were just about dead. Like, we were just about to give up on QR codes. And then was it the pandemic that saved? It was, right? Because we all had dead? To have menus.
I didn't know they were dying, were they?
People were...
I think they were still a thing, right?
For replacement. I mean, they were still being used, but it was... They were falling out of favor. And then everybody needed a way to scan a menu.
Yeah,
because we couldn't have paper. We couldn't have menus that you handed to people that other people touched.
Yeah,
so we had to have QR codes all over the place.
It definitely didn't hurt to have that resurgence.
It definitely helped. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I think QR codes.
Matthew Sargent. I never used them until the pandemic. Merrick says nobody ever used them. I could have sworn there was an article in the New York Times that said QR codes were on the way out until the pandemic saved them or something.
Weird. Well, good for them. They're going to live long now, I think. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll spend a little bit of time with our old friends, Bill and Bobby. Bill and Bob.
Yeah.
It's the old Bill and Bob morning show, and that's all coming up.
I sure hope we can tell them apart.
Yeah, me too. That'll be after this break, and this break consists of a song, and Brian's prepared one. So, Brian, what do you got there?
Yes, this one is a band called Night Talks. I hate having those Night Talks. They never end well. Those Night Talks. Night Talks. This is an indie rock pop trio led by the magnetizing and sonorous vocals of Soraya Sabgadi, alongside guitarist Jacob Butler and Josh Arteaga. They have a penchant for creating joyous rock anthems. Big thanks going out to Grimy Goods for getting this over to me. This is the song Roll On. Here's the band Night Talks.
Head up in the clouds, even if I'm stuck in the house, I'm in this race alone, but I can't keep up with the Joneses, living out a dream, I'm thinking all about what that can mean, running with the bulls, will I be able when I'm old, one step, two step, three steps forward, back in one step, two step, three steps back. One step, two step, three steps forward, back in one step, two step. Bouncing up the walls in my head, yeah, they're just thoughts. Cutting circles all on the floor, yeah, it won't stop. God, I wanna fight this feeling. I'm going almost through the ceiling, but I'm stuck inside the house while it keeps on rolling on. I'm still up in the clouds.
Greatnuts presents Bonnie Pruden, whose research led to the organization of President Eisenhower's Committee on Youth Fitness.
Licking sounds good.
And we've returned. Who is that one more time?
Sure. That was the song Roll On by the band Night Talks, brand new single from that indie rock pop trio.
A song all about deodorant and the best application.
And the best way to apply it.
Yep. Always the
I would agree.
Roll-on.
I would agree. I prefer
I like a roll-on. I do too. I don't like a cakey stick.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Not into it.
Take even the gel where you've got to turn the crank and the gel comes out little goo holes.
Yeah, the gel holes. I do like those too. Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't. What I don't want anymore is the cakey ones, and I'm never going to spray anything. Okay.
No spray.
What century are we in where we still spray shit under there? Come on.
Because when you're spraying your armpits, you're pretty much pointing that thing at your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, aren't we? I mean, it's still not good for the ozone layer or whatever. I don't think. I don't know how that works.
No, I'm pretty sure it's bad for the environment. Yeah. No.
I don't think it's good. All right. Let's. Shit. Who? Oh, Bill.
Bill.
The hell do
Let's
we have first?
Shit.
Let's shit. All right, Bill incoming. We're going to have a little bit of fun with the old Billster, and here we go.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Oh, look! It's Bill Duran with his iconic intro and his masculine energy. He's joining us, as he does every Tuesday, from his headquarters over there at punishprops.com, a place I got all excited about yesterday. I did a little mini video about one of my favorite props ever, this Nuka-Cola he sent.
That's cool.
I love this thing. And I did a little short video about it and pointed people to the video where he created it. And so to say I'm in the mood for Bill today is an understatement. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy to be here. I'm excited you're showing that off. Today I wanted to talk about 3D printing, and that is one of the very first things I 3D printed.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't even
good
know.
Good timing.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was 3D printed. I didn't know what process you used for this until I went and saw the video again, and sure enough. But it's also got, I don't know how you did it. Maybe you've explained
this
before.
It's so well polished. I thought that was, you made a mold and then.
So the original was 3D printed,
and then
we made a mold of the 3D print.
And the stuff you got in there is almost like translucent cola color.
Right. So that's we used a resin that is transparent, and then we put a little pigment in it to make it that brown. It's a little dark, but especially if you shine a light up next to it, you can see that it's transparent.
Yeah, especially down on the wings, you can just sort of see this, like, it really gives it the feeling that it's glass, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So cool. I love this thing. It really truly is
one of my
favorites.
Left the seam around the edge because glass bottles have a seam.
That's right.
It was like a perfect, worked perfectly to like continue the illusion.
Yeah. Like I said in this video yesterday, my two favorite things in Fallout as objects, sort of like iconic objects, are all the Nuka-Cola imagery. For whatever reason, I just love it. And the computer terminals. I love those things. Even more than like the Pip-Boy. Everyone's like, oh, the Pip-Boy, that's the thing. No, that's cool and all. Don't trust me. They're rad, and you've made plenty of those, Bill. But I really, really like the little terminals with the round screens, these ancient-ass looking computer terminals. I love that stuff. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did you bring today? Besides a long history and legacy of making cool shit.
So Brittany and I have been cooking up a new 3D printing venture, a new thing. It's not quite ready for mass consumption yet, but we've been designing things for other people to 3D print. Now, this isn't something new. I've done this before for our prop stuff. I've got our Blade Runner blaster and the Vashtha Stampede revolver. Those are both kits that we sell on our website where you download the 3D files, print them yourself, and then you can put together your own prop. And that's what really well. It's cool because then most of the work is done and it's a digital file. I used to mold and cast all my props and sell castings, which is a good way to do it, but then I have to mold and cast all the stuff. So we really like this whole make a file, you 3D print the thing, and everyone gets a thing out of it.
Very nice. That's awesome. I love that idea. You've hinted at this before, but it's nice to hear some of this taken
shape. Yeah, and we'll be talking more about it in the coming months as more things come out. But anyway, in the process of designing these kits for other people, I've learned some things. Because when you're printing something for yourself, and I'm guilty of this, you may take some shortcuts. Say, I'm not going to fix that feature because I'll just sand it later, or I'll just cut it off with a bandsaw or remodel it by hand later.
Right.
You can't really do that when you're making stuff for other people to print. Mostly because you want them to obviously have a good and fun customer experience, especially if you're selling them these things. But also, you don't want to have to deal with the customer service emails. You want to make sure people can get their files, print them themselves, and have a fun experience without having to reach out to you every single time. Especially when you're sending this to many, many people.
Sure.
So here's some stuff we've learned, and this is some of the stuff we're including as design considerations for our new stuff. So, first of all, you want to make the files as easy to print as possible. So something I've been keeping in mind is trying to design parts so that they don't need supports.
Oh, so, interesting. How is? I mean, not everything needs supports, right? Like there are cases
right.
of
you
things.
Design it correctly, yeah, you can print.
Yeah.
It
supports, yeah. When I'm replicating a prop for 3D printing, sometimes you have to. That's a compromise you have to make. Some parts just need to print supports.
All right.
So, for example, yesterday I was printing a little propeller, like a little boat propeller.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no way to do that without supports, which is fine. But because I'm designing things from scratch right now that are my own designs, if I can help it, I've been able to design things in a way where you can print it without support material. Support material, there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's got a lot better. However, you use more material when you do it, and it can leave blemishes on the surface where the support material touches down. So that's one thing that I've been keeping in mind.
Yeah.
And then also, if the parts are going to be big, so for example, with like a giant sword, right?
Yeah.
You want to cut those apart ahead of time and have include a way to attach them later. Relying on the customers to slice a thing into pieces themselves will result in a lot of customer support emails.
Angry messages.
Ask me how I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's your preferred way to do that? Like, do you do a tab and then a hole, like a cylinder sticking out and then a hole in the other side that is larger, but
one way I've done that. Yeah. So for the Satisfactory helmets that those are actually for free. If you're into Satisfactory, you want to print a helmet, go to our punishprops.com. We have a free file section. You can print that for free.
Yeah.
That had to be cut up into smaller pieces because it's not going to fit on a normal size printer.
Right.
Along the seams that I cut, I included peg holes. And I believe I did it this way, if memory serves correct. But I've done this on several projects. These are 3 millimeter peg holes. So you could use your 3 millimeter filament if you have that, or a 1/8 inch or 3 millimeter rod. So I have steel or brass rod down in the shop that you can use both to lock it together and to align the parts back together.
That's cool. So like you can, instead of having a tab that you've got to match up, you've got, you know, you can just get, it's like those little pegs that come with IKEA furniture, basically.
Absolutely. Perfect. Yeah.
That's smart. That's a really smart way to do it.
Yeah. And I did that with the Vasha Stampede revolver too. It's got a bunch of parts that need those 3 millimeter or 1/8 inch rods. The other thing to consider, how big is your customer's printer going to be? There are bigger printers, but there is kind of a standard size. We're doing all of our testing on a normal size Prusa, which has a print volume of 250 millimeters by 210 by 210. So everything we design will print in that size of a volume.
The idea there is what? Lowest common denominator, try to nail your that's like when you when somebody makes a PC computer game, they want to match a range of builds.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Same idea.
This is kind of a no-brainer, but print the parts before you sell them. Try it out yourself. Because
crazy.
You'll run into every problem your customer is going to have before they have it. And that means you're going to print parts several times until you get it just right. That's actually what I'm going to be doing today. And that's actually my favorite part, the printing and testing and fitting and that repetition.
Sure.
And then include instructions. This is the most challenging part.
Yeah.
So I plan on our kits having text and image instructions and assembly videos. If you have a lot of parts that have to get put together, you should make an assembly video. And in fact, while I did, we made project videos for the Blade Runner blaster, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
That's me figuring out how to make this thing, and that's up on our YouTube channel. I made a second video that's just the assembly. It's super instructional. It's not funny or sensational or anything, because that project needs specific hardware, screws of different sizes and lengths, and it has to go together in a certain order. So I just made a video that very dryly goes through that step by step. Same thing with the Trigun revolver. I found that when it comes to assembly, there's no better way to do it than with a video.
Yeah, I also wish I wish there were more videos that were just no nonsense like that in general. Like when I want to find, hey, how do I actually shout out to Bill from the Run Jump Stomp podcast. He did a video on YouTube about how to get Diablo 4 running on a Steam Deck. And there are thousands of those videos. His is the only one I'm going to recommend. It is so to the point. It exactly does what it needs to do. It's extremely simple. and straightforward, and he knows his stuff, and he doesn't dink around or over-explain or tell me a big story before. He just gets to the freaking point.
Yes.
And I love that.
It's not a 45-minute video that shows you
exactly
how to do something in 2 minutes.
A mask or something.
More,
do that.
More of that, please.
full of jokes and...
He made my day with that thing.
So true. Yeah. And we love Bill. ATP.
ATP.
Bill Run Jump Stop.
Yeah. He's great. Love that.
I had a similar experience yesterday. I was trying to 3D model a boat propeller in Fusion 360, and I found a 6-minute video, no dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's just a little music and a guy showing me the bare bones of how to make a boat propeller.
Yeah. Nice. Great. That's what you want. Take heed. Sorry, go ahead.
There's a bunch of information you probably want to include. So I'm thinking I'm going to have like a PDF with every kit that includes images that show the correct print orientation on the print bed. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Specific settings. So like some of the parts I'm making, very small parts, should be printed completely solid, 100% infill. Other parts shouldn't be. You can include that in your instructions. If there's any additional hardware, like I said, my Trigun and Blade Runner kits require screws. So if you need hardware specific screws, you can include links to that. So for example, for my Trigun revolver, there's a PDF with images and instructions and links to McMaster Car to the specific screws you need. So there's no ambiguity about which screws to get. It's literally a link that sends you there. I've found that all of that has worked really well. We've sold lots of those kits, and I haven't hardly ever got any customer service emails, which is my gold standard. If I'm not getting emails,
you've done it right.
I did it right.
That's a really good feeling to know you covered it well enough that you didn't get bugged about it all the time. Sure.
Yes. And I have not always nailed that. So sure. I know. I know.
That's great.
Well,
very cool as usual. If anyone out there is like, I don't know, how do I put this? Like the whole support thing fascinates me because you need it to print certain things, right? You have to put in supports.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you want to have less so that you're not using a bunch of material you're not going to use later. It's all going to get chucked away, but also it's just more efficient.
But there can be not having a lot of crap to remove.
Yeah. You don't have to sand stuff down or find out why this little crease is wrong or do, you know, you're going to have to do prints that come out and you go, oh crap, I should have had a support there and I didn't think about it. Now I got to go back.
Oh, I can show you one that I did just yesterday, as a matter of fact.
I'll bet this is super common for all you.
Everybody
doing this. So I appreciate this easing to someone who's not printing as just kind of a, I don't know, everybody just efficient up your stuff a little, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Especially if you're selling it. So if you're going
to
sell it.
That's a huge thing. If you're asking people to pay for it, people are going to start expecting this. We've been downloading a lot of other people's kits and printing them.
Yeah.
And there's a wide range of... The file quality is one thing, the 3D print file.
Mm-hmm.
But then the sort of support surrounding it, the instructions, the considerations, there's a huge wide range of that. And I'm understanding now how much I appreciate... when you get all that in a delivered product that you paid for.
It's a lot. Well, Bill, always a pleasure. You got any little something bonusy today to share with us?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. So this is a YouTube channel. I've been following this guy on Twitter. Last night I realized he has YouTube videos.
Mm.
Goes by Sublight Drive on YouTube. And he makes little model spaceships. And he makes them all old school using, not 3D printing, but... styrene and glue. Oh,
look at these.
Airbrush and painting.
Styrene.
This is so cool.
It's deeply satisfying.
Remind me what where do we commonly find styrene? Like what?
So your model shop, like a hobby town or hobby
shop.
Yeah,
it's that stiffer plastic. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So and please go to, if you have a local hobby shop, go and check out the styrene selection because they have sheets of it in different thicknesses, which is great. But they also have like textured ones, and he used some textured styrene on those cargo containers. They basically have pre-made stuff at scale. So tiny little tubes and I-beams and all sorts of stuff, all made out of styrene, which is a really easy material to work with. You pretty much just need an X-Acto knife.
Oh my gosh, I'm in love with everything he's doing here.
I know, this is so cool.
Wow. Yep. Wow. he needs
so
more.
So yeah, very few tools required. He uses a Weldbond 3 glue, or you could use super glue, but Weldbond's the standard. And some paints and an X-Acto knife. And jeez, you can get fancier than that, but that's really all you need to make stuff like this.
Sublight Drive deserves more than 6,000 followers on YouTube. Everybody get over there.
I agree.
Follow this guy. Amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Does he do commissions? Seems like a lot of work. beautiful. All right. Awesome. As always, you'll find that at Sublight Drive on YouTube. And of course, Punish Props on YouTube, as well as punishprops.com. Bill, it's always good having you here. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next time.
Good to be here.
Bye. See you, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
That link is going up on quicktms.li right now.
So this ship isn't... is this the? It looks like the Galactic. It's obviously.
It kind of does, yeah. But I don't think it is.
I could
it's
see
just
it
like
in
some weird container ship.
Yeah, I could see it in like the fleet, you know.
Yes, right.
It's where they carry all their food and toiletries and stuff.
Toiletries.
That's really cool. All right, let's get this going here. Who are we adding now? Bill for science.
I say let's have Bobby.
Or Bobby's what I meant. I say Bill again. All right, here he comes. Get your science hats on, everybody, because it's time.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
It sure does, as always. Bobby here to join us for a little science time. Bobby, hi, Mr. Pilot Man. Whoa, you're all blasted out. Look at that.
Yeah, adjust camera. There we go.
Whew.
Whew.
Hello, Bobbert.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for asking.
Oh, well, you know. You didn't, no flight. How's your flying going? How's that going? We just like to check in.
You were about to do your night flight, I think, last time we talked, or had you just done it? No, I think you were prepping for your first
night flight. I was going to be doing it. It got canceled because of the weather. But I have soloed. I think I said that last time we talked.
Yeah.
I've started going solo. And last week I flew like 4 different days, which was great. I've never, that's unusual to be able to go that often, but my mom was in town, so I was able to schedule some more. And when you're solo, there's a little bit of flexibility because I don't have to have my instructor there. And that was great because I did 2 solo flights in the pattern, and then I did 2 solo cross-country flights if I haven't explained that before, or anybody who doesn't know, a cross-country flight is not as long as it sounds. It's a flight where you are going to another airport that is at least 50 nautical miles away.
How high do you ever get? You're not like 30,000.
This last flight I did was the highest I've ever flown. It was 4,500 feet.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's I wasn't sure because, you know, like a commercial airliner is 30,000 or whatever. I never know what the little puddle jumpers do or the little, you know, small.
Yeah, planes. You can't go that high unless you're not supposed to go that high. Well, first of all, a plane that I fly would not get that high. It's just not powerful enough. It's not the right type of plane either. I think you have to really have a jet engine to be able to fly that high. And you're that beyond, I think, I don't know this for sure. I've never really bothered to memorize these specific numbers because I don't have any intention of flying this high, but I think it's 20,000 feet. Above that is a special type of airspace reserved for things like passenger jets and airliners and stuff.
That makes sense. The only
allowed up there unless you are in air traffic control system on an instrument flight where you've got, you know, you've filed flight plans and all this kind of stuff.
Right. So the other question I had, and this is just, I've had this in the back of my head for a couple of weeks now, I keep forgetting to ask you. When you land and you're done, is there like a big maintenance regimen for someone to do because some other guy's got to take it up? Like how often is the flight or how often is the plane you're flying also just... Is it always in rotation, I guess is what I'm saying? Someone's always flying.
Most of the time, every day. I was just looking at the schedule for that plane last night because I'm always looking to figure out when I can insert a flight because I need to, you know, I want to fly, but also I want to keep practice for my test in mid-August. But during the week, it's being flown 3 to 5 times a day. by different people. My instructor is almost always the one that's in there with students, but it's like different students are using this plane all the time. On the weekend, it's pretty open, and that's when I can sort of schedule something. It's not very often being rented by anybody other than students, but sometimes it is. And so it gets a lot of flight whenever, I think during the day, like when I bring the plane back, I park it in the parking at the airport. They have the line crew, the linemen come in and refill it.
Okay.
Fill it back up with fuel. It's always good to top off the fuel, because if it's not, then condensation can get inside the fuel tanks. And it's not like a huge risk. It doesn't have to be, but that it's just, if you can, it's a good idea.
So there's always somebody, there's rules about that, right? Like they have certain, it's a maintenance regime of some specific type. And every time it lands, it goes through a bunch of checks.
And it's going to be their rules at that. They're called FBOs, flight. I don't know what FBO is.
Funky body odor. That's what I.
Yeah. Flight business organization. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember what FBO stands for, but it's their business that they have. They have a fleet of planes, and it's going to be their rules that they set. There are of course rules for how often an airplane in service, like federal regulations about how often it has to be maintained, but that's like every year or every 2 years or something like that. It has to be kind of an airworthiness inspection and stuff like that. But
interesting.
Other than that, maintenance wise, that depends on the owner of the airplane.
Yeah. And there is it against the rules to leave like a little Easter egg in there for the next guy?
And people might not like it. I don't know what you mean by Easter egg.
Well, I don't mean like something gnarly, but I mean like, you know, a little sticker on the dash that just says, hey, hope you have a good flight, you know, like something dumb. You probably can't
like
do
a
that.
Little sticky note. Like, I think they'd be mad at me if I put like stickers on that they'd have to like keep their goo gone out.
How about a sticker covering the altimeter that looks just like the altimeter?
Oh, see that? I think they'd have a problem with it. Feels like.
Yeah. They might not let me fly the plane anymore.
Feels like that one might be a bridge too far.
If they could prove it was me.
Right. They'd never be able to figure that out.
Well, I don't know. That kind of, these parts of it fascinate me because no one ever thinks of these parts. And I like,
it really is interesting. All the different things. Like I had no idea until I started learning to fly that even as a student, it's day one. Well, I guess day two. Day two, because I had to be shown how to do it. But ever since day two of my second lesson, it was my responsibility to pre-flight the airplane, for example.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know how detailed it was that every time you fly a plane, even airline pilots have some responsibility for pre-flight inspection of the aircraft.
Hmm.
It's crazy. I didn't know that. There's like all these little things about being a pilot that you just don't know. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, there's your flight update, everybody. Sit back in your seats and enjoy, and check out the Grand Canyon on your left, and we'll arrive soon. Bobby, you're a science expert of sorts, and you like to come on the show and talk about said science. What's on offer today? What are you doing?
Well, first of all, I heard you guys talking about black widows. Have I ever told you guys about how black widows got such a bad rap with people?
This would help our story, our info today.
It's Alice Cooper, wasn't it? I'm sure it was Alice Cooper.
Probably.
If Alice Cooper was in an outhouse, then yes. Maybe.
Sure, at one point.
Yeah.
If it's outhouses that gave black widows such a bad rap, they would bite people in outhouses, and those people would not survive or have a really gnarly outcome. But the problem is, the reason is that whenever a male person with genitals would sit in an outhouse and get bit by a black widow, well, the black widows are hiding in dark places, so you can imagine where they were being bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Bitten.
Okay.
And,
none of that.
There's
area
a lot of blood
want.
Flow in that area.
Sure.
There's a lot of very easy to access and just close to the surface veins and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my understanding as well.
So it would spread throughout the body very quickly.
Oh, it's a spread thing. That's interesting.
Yeah. So it's Brian's right. Black Widows, we have a pretty good resistance. If we get bitten like on our arm or something, there's time. Like, you might not even get that bad of a reaction because...
Well, as you can hear, we lost internet at the worst possible time. Bobby was just getting going, and it hasn't come up yet. So we decided to go ahead and end the show early. I hate doing this. I'm really ticked. Both ISPs that I rely on are down today, or down at the moment. I don't know when they're coming back up. But we're going to have to cut TMS short. That means Brian's not here to tell you about our song as we leave. And that's okay, because he's texted me that information, and I have in my hand what we need to know. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you that our outro song today before we leave, real quick here, I want to thank Bobby and Bill for being here, Brian for his patience today with this stupid problem, and all of you for being supporters of the show. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go. Here is your song. It's a request. Someone wrote in named Andrew who says, "Dear Socks and Boxers, I'm turning the ripe old age of 40 this year.
Let's party."
Nice. If you could play anything that tells about being 40 in a pop-sounding style, I'd greatly appreciate it. If you can't do that, then any Disney cover you haven't played before would be fantastic. Show the ho, though, Andrew. Well, Andrew, Brian picked for you 40 by U2, covered by Starfield. I've never heard this cover before, so we're going to hear it together, you and I. That'll do it for today. Back tomorrow. ISP God's willing. Well, we will be. We'll be here. This stuff gets cleared up by then. Not too worried. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you then.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.